Today is Vision Sunday. I love Vision Sunday. We're talking about what God is going to do in the future through our church, and just we're going to all get on the same page about going in the same direction. It's such a big deal because the Bible clearly says this in Amos. I'm sure you read the book of Amos all the time. But anyways, it says in Amos that how can people walk together unless they agree? So we have to be going in the same direction. One of the things I love about our church is that we may not always get it right, but we're going in the same direction, you know? And then God does great things when we come in agreement. And that's why we have Vision Sunday, where we just share about what are we all about? Where are we going? What are we doing? So I'm just going to dive right in because I got a lot of content today. You guys ready to go? Let's do it. Again, glad you guys are here. It's so great to be here. And maybe you've got family. We've got my daughter, my little Aggie, is here in the front row with us. I always love having her in church with us today. Love you, baby. Great to have her here. Today on Vision Sunday, there's a scripture in Mark chapter 8 that really kind of encapsulates what we're all about. And so there's a story where Jesus is preaching and there's a crowd gathered. Anywhere Jesus went, crowds gathered. And there's this crowd of people. And we know, according to the scripture, there was about 4,000 people, but they only counted men for some reason. And so just turn to your wife right now and say, "You don't count, honey. I'm sorry, you just don't count." So I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm just kidding. But for some reason, that's the way they did it culturally, is they just counted men. So we know that really it wasn't 4,000 people. It's probably about 15,000 to 20,000 people were gathered. And they were all getting hungry. It was getting late in the day. And so basically Jesus had compassion for them and realized, we need to feed these people before they go home. They're not going to have enough sustenance to get home. They're, you know, people could pass out. I mean, this is the Middle East. It's hot. They could die, you know? So he's like, we need to feed these people. But what's beautiful about the scripture is not only do you see the miracle where he takes someone's food and multiplies it, but the food represented, it's the bread. And in the Bible, Jesus is bread. I don't know if you knew the connection, but he actually is the bread. So we're going to unpack all this today. And it gives us a perfect picture of the vision of our church, of what we're all about, which is to take care of people and give them the bread of life, which is Christ. And so let's dive right into the scripture. Mark chapter 8. You guys ready to go? Let's do this. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Here we go. Mark chapter 8. Jesus said this, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." And so Jesus has compassion for people. The first thing I want to challenge you is that this vision that God has given me to share with you will not make any sense if you don't have compassion for people. It won't make sense. Like, if you don't care about people, none of this makes sense. But I just want to challenge you, if you don't have compassion for people, can I just ask you point blank, are you a Christian? Isn't that kind of the very nature of a Christian, is to have compassion for people, to care for people, is to have a heart for people? Why? Because God made everyone. And so he wants us to have compassion and care for others. And so number one is to let compassion for people drive you. And so compassion for people has driven me for the last 27 years that we have been in South Texas. We started a church 27 years ago, my wife and I, and our 1 6-week-old baby, Mason, at the time. When we moved to town, didn't know a single person, and that compassion still drives me to this day. I used to do this a lot. I would go to the mall. This is back when people went to malls. And I would sit in the mall. I would find a seat and just watch people walk by. Anyone like the people watch? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Not like weird, but like, you know, not like, I'm going to watch you. I'm just following you. Weird. And so, but I would just sit and just watch people walk by. And I always had this thought. The thought was, did they know Jesus? Does that family walking by, do they know Jesus, you know? And I just had that thought, and I still, that thought still drives me. You know, when I go to Walmart or Target or the mall or wherever, is it, you know, do people know the Lord? And so when you have compassion for people, you care about that. I mean, this vision won't make any sense unless there's a reality that you realize, and that is that, I don't know if you've seen the stats, but they're terrifying. 100 out of 100 people will die. It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. The stats are terrifying. None of us are getting out of this place alive. I'm just telling you right now, 100 out of 100 die. And so since everyone will when they die, we should really think about where we're going. And so there's a reality that there is a heaven and a hell, and those are the only two options you have. And if that's the truth, then don't you think we should all be about making sure as many people get to heaven as possible? That's what drives everything we do. And so the Bible's very clear about that, and so that's what drives us. It says in Acts chapter 13, this is a verse God gave me when I was in seminary. It says this, "Now David had served God's purpose in his own generation, and then he fell asleep." Basically, God is saying about David, this is referring back to David in the book of Acts, we're talking about him. And they said, yeah, he did what God told him to do in his generation, and he passed away. That's my prayer. God, just with my life, just use me to reach my generation and the next, and then I'll pass and be fine. And whenever I ride off into the sunset, that's all I want to be able to say, that I did what you told me to do, that I did my part in reaching the next. And you know what? God will raise up new people in the next generation to take it further. And that's my heart. That's what, you know, I just want to ride off into the sunset. For me, I'd like to ski off into the sunset one day. But the point is that one day when I'm done, you know, doing what God's called me to do, that we have done our part, and then the next generation will take over. Mason's coming forward. Are you taking over right now, Mason? Do I have a little time left? I wasn't sure. Okay, so the point is, have compassion for people that need the Lord. You know, I'm still driven by this. When I was in college, I transferred from a small Baptist school to a state school, to C.F. Austin State University. It was a great school. The best thing I got out of that was my wife. Forget the degree. I got the girl. That's what mattered most. Anyways, but I remember I was in a dorm room next to these guys, and I just had a heart for them. I didn't even know what I signed up for, but I moved to Stephen F. Austin State University. I didn't realize this at the time, but I was told when I got there in the dorm I moved into that apparently, I never saw this, but apparently there was an article in Playboy magazine back then that rated the biggest party dorms in the nation. The first one was, I think, at USC, and the second one was the one I moved into. I kid you not. And it was like, I apparently am now living in Animal House. This is crazy. I remember stepping over people that had passed out in the hallway just to get to my dorm room. It was like, this is crazy. I mean, this is nuts. And so I definitely bit off more than I could chew, and I realized how like crazy it was. But I had a compassion for them. I was like, I want to win these guys to Christ. And so these two guys living next to me, they were both pledging for fraternity, you know, and that's all they cared about was just, they were just chasing girls. All they wanted to do was have a beer and get laid. That was their entire plan in life. And I just want, so can you say that in church? I don't know if you can. I don't think the board's here today. We're good. So anyways, but basically, I still have a compassion for them. Now they just have to be dads. But I think a lot of people are still just, you know, they probably traded in the whole just have a beer to now just if I just made this much money. But at some point, they're going to realize that's empty too. And so I just felt called by God to start a church that reached them. That just reaches people who aren't into God, that aren't into religion. In fact, they probably even had a bad experience with religion. So we just want to, you know, people tell me, I don't like organized religion. Well, you'll love Church Unlimited. We're disorganized religion around here. You know, we don't have any organizational. And so the point I'm trying to say is that we realize that our heart as a church has not changed in 27 years. We want to reach lost and broken people, period. That's what we do. That hasn't changed. I mean, I'm a little older and fatter, and I have a little less hair, but other than that, it hasn't changed. You know, the heart is still the same. Let's win people to Christ. Let's continue to have compassion for people and let that drive us. So Jesus is like, these people need to eat. They're hungry. I have a compassion for them, right? Then he says this. His disciples actually answered and said this, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. They said, seven. So basically, I love the word seven. Seven is the words of completion. That means that you have just enough in your hand to obey God now. Isn't that great? How many loaves are ready? I just have seven. He's like, that's enough. That's all that matters, right? Just you have enough. You know, this is Vision Sunday. Next week is Giving Sunday. It's our annual offering one time a year. I don't like to talk about money all the time, but only because we're moving up towards that. And if you're visiting with us, please, that's not what we're all about here at the church. We're all about bringing you to Christ. But what drives us to want to give is the fact that when we give, we can do more. We can do more for God in our community and around the world. That's what drives that, right? But I will tell you that I love the fact that the disciples here say, but there's no restaurant open. There's no, well, like we're in the middle of nowhere, Jesus. There's no place to go eat, right? And so what are they doing? They're kind of giving an excuse, but then Jesus says, well, what's in your hand? You keep telling me what you don't have. What do you have? Isn't that great? And we tend to do that. Like, next week's a big offering. Well, we'll let some millionaire get. I'm sure Church Unlimited is big. You know, they probably got a bunch of millionaires. Well, first of all, I keep looking around. Where are those millionaires? I haven't found them yet. I don't know what you're talking about. We don't have that here. We're regular people making a difference. I mean, there's a handful of rich people, but not very many. And so I want to challenge you that the disciples are like, well, we don't have any food. And Jesus says, well, what's in your hand? Let's talk about that. Just if you'll just use what's in your hand, that's all that matters. So would you write this down? First thing is have compassion on people. Number two, set aside your excuses. Just give what you can. You know, next week as we have our special offering, I'm not worried about the number that comes in. That's not the number I'm looking at all. There's only one number I'm looking at. The number I'm looking at is the percentage of participation. Because that means we're all together. The number about what, you see, I don't have much to give. Can you give a buck? Can you give a dollar over your tithe? Well, I mean, yeah. Okay, well, do that. Let's just, is your heart with us? Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart is. Is your heart with the vision? our vision is from 2020. I prayed 100 hours. Many of you guys know the story. You probably heard beat into your brains because the vision hasn't changed. And that is to win 1 million souls. That's our heart. In fact, next week I'm going to announce how far along we are. We're going to give you a total tally of where we're at in the last 27 years, how many people have been saved, and how many more do we have to go to win 1 million souls. So I can't wait to share that with you next week. Don't miss next week. But here's my point, is that the challenge is not what do I give. You just ask God. God will show you that. I've asked the Lord, what do you want our family to give? And the number, I'll throw out a number, and I feel like the Lord's telling me, like, well, that's not sacrificial. Well, how about this much? And then I'm like, oh, Lord, you keep saying no. And I get to the number, like, how about this much? I'm like, oh. And God's like, oh, did you just go apart? That's enough. Okay, God, I get it. It's got to just hurt to be a sacrifice. I mean, the Bible says to be a living sacrifice. So that's how we've come up with the number we're giving as a family, you know? And I don't know how you're going to come up with yours, but the Lord will show you. Here's what drives me, still drives me 27 years in. Matthew 28 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He says, hey, don't do this for me, do it with me. He says, I'm with you as you go and you make disciples. You know, what's our vision here as a church? We know our mission statement. I want to say it again. As a church today, if there's ever a day to say it, it's on Vision Sunday. What are we here to do as a church? We're here to say it with me. We're here to take as many people to heaven as we can before we die, period. It's simple. This is not complicated. In fact, I think it's wrong when we complicate the gospel when it's not complicated. What's the gospel? It's just gospel. Just the word gospel just means good news. So what's the good news? Jesus died for you and rose again. If you accept him, he forgives you of all your sins. He reserves a place for you in heaven. He gives you purpose on this earth, and you can go share his faith with other people. That's the good news. It's not complicated. I just said it in 30 seconds. It's not supposed to be complicated. That's why Jesus said, let the children come to me. A six-year-old can get this. It's supposed to be simple. It's not complicated. Let's set aside our excuses. Luke chapter 22 ties this whole thing together for us about why bread, why are we distributing bread. Jesus said this. He said he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, and he said, this is my body. Oh, whoa, that's a whole nother meaning to bread. He basically took a roll from the table, broke it apart, and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, they didn't understand at the time. They're like, Jesus, your body? What are you talking about your body? But this is not a new theme for Jesus. Look what he said in John chapter 6. He said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Again, they're probably like, ooh, Jesus, that's gross. What are you talking about? They didn't understand that he was going to die on a cross yet. And he was going to raise a new life again. But we have the advantage of looking back on history, realizing, oh, that's what he meant. Now we get it. Because he rose again. We're like, oh, so you were going to die for us. And we're supposed to distribute what you did for us. We're supposed to tell everyone about it. That's our job, is to tell the masses. And so we want to set aside our excuses. And then the next thing, look what happened. So they said, Lord, I mean, there's no place to eat around here. Jesus said, what's in your hand? Let's start with that. Don't give me an excuse. What's in your hand? Well, I got a little bread. Give me that. I'll start with that. So then they give that, right? And then Jesus tells them the plan. This is what it says in Mark chapter 8. And this is what God is leading us to do. This is what I'm doing today. Number three, tell the people the plan. That's what I'm about to do. I'm just going to share with you the plan for 2025, okay? And so, but this is what Jesus said. He said, he told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the seven loaves and given thanks, I think that's important. He's saying, God, I can't do this without you, Father. And if Jesus said that, certainly we need the Father, right? So I can't do this without you. I don't want to do this without you, God. I need you to help us do this. Then he gave thanks for it, and he broke the bread, and he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. One of the things I love about this is that the multiplication doesn't happen until after they've given what they can give. We keep saying, oh, God, multiply my business. And God's like, I'd love to do that. What's in your hand? Let's start with that. Oh, God, multiply my influence. God's like, I'd love to do that. What are you doing with your time? You want to multiply your influence? That doesn't just mean more likes on Instagram. It means maybe multiplying your influence by helping out in children's church. We want to talk about multiplying your influence. That'll multiply your influence. You know, serving in a nursery, serving as a greeter, there's a multiplied influence, right? God's like, what's in your hand that you can give your time, your talent, your treasure, that you can give to me, and then I'll multiply it. But God doesn't multiply until after we do our part and give him something. And so this is important. Number three, tell the people the plan. Well, the plan is actually not complicated at all as a church of what we're doing. First of all, you got to realize that God starts things and we just respond to him. We don't start the things. And so I didn't start this church. God started the church in me, and then I responded to him and moved to a town that I don't know anyone, and then God's done an incredible work. But God started it. I didn't start it. In fact, if I would have said no, God would have still got this church done. He just would have picked someone else. That's how God works, right? But we respond to him. So when God's moving, you're just responding to him. Years ago, when I was much younger and the children were little, we would go surfing as a family. We would go out to the beach, and typically the boys, when they were really little, would surf with me. And we go out, and basically they were so little, like Cole, I would literally grab him by his pants, like by his bathing suit, and just pick him up. That's how small he was. He's like this big. Right now he's 6'3", he's huge, but you know. He was a little guy, and it was so cute, too, because Cole's head, the same size head he has now, he has a baby. I'm kid you not. He was Charlie Brown. His head was half the size of the rest of his body. It was crazy. Anyway, so I'd pick him up, little cute little Charlie Brown body, and I'd put him on the board, and I would wait for the wave to come, and I'd push him into the wave, and then he'd get up on the board and ride it in. Mason did the same thing. I'd take a little skinny body, and I'd put him on the board, right, and I'd push him into the wave, and they'd go. Now, here's the thing. I didn't create the wave. God created the waves. It was not my job to create the wave of God. It was my job to position myself in just the right place to catch the wave of God. Did you catch that? That's great. And so we just are supposed to catch what God's already doing. Yeah. In fact, I got good news for you. Some of you are like, man, Pastor, you know, like next week you're doing this offer. I don't have anything to give. Well, if you begin to catch the wave of what God's doing, next year you will. Did you catch that? You say, man, I've blown it in my marriage. And oh, I got great news for you. God has a new wave of grace always coming. God has a new wave of opportunity always coming. The waves keep coming. So when you say, I missed the boat, no, you just missed the wave. There's always another boat. I just want to tell you, if you feel like you missed it, you feel like, man, I had a sideways year, I didn't see God do anything, or I feel like I'm going backwards, I got great news for you, is that God's bringing another wave so you can catch the new wave of God. Maybe for you, you're going to catch a vision for what God's going to do in you right now. Because this vision just isn't for our church corporately. The vision is for you to do great things for God. God has things for you to be a part of and to do. And so the plan is first of all, what wave has God brought us? Can I give you a wave? Here's some wave statistics for you. Number one, this last year we've seen 14,877 people receive Christ in 2024 alone. That is a wave of blessing. Almost 1,300 baptisms. Did you know that just from 2023 to 2024, the increase in children that we've served this year is 9,000 plus more kids coming to church? That's crazy. That have been served over the last year. Just last year, we took 663 kids to student camp. How about this one? Local missions. We fed 35,000 people this year through our local missions. That's mind-blowing to me. It's incredible. Our prison ministry had an attendance of 11,000 people over the last 12 months. Let's give it up for our prison ministry. Unbelievable. Incredible. You know, last year we finally renovated. Padre Allen's been so faithful and giving, and they've been so patient with us. It took us forever to finally get the renovations done. And we renovated this last year, and they opened up. Do you know they're up in attendance 45% year to year just from renovating? Unbelievable, right? All campus growth, we're averaging 21% across all of our campuses. God is moving powerfully. You know, at Broadcast alone, we've grown 25% in 1 year. This is crazy. God's just good. That is a wave of blessing, a wave of what God is doing in a powerful way. So here's the three things that we want to do. Here's our plan. Here's our plan. Here's our part. The first thing, God's grown all of our campuses so much. By the way, multiple campuses are probably going to have to add services again. I mean, right now, Rockport is on the brink. They are packed with people. It's incredible. Remember, in 2017, they literally lost their entire building. Now in their brand new building, they're completely out of space. Can we just praise God for what God's doing right now in Rockport, Texas? It's unbelievable. I mean, I just told you about Padre Allen. There wasn't even a Portland campus, you know, 2 years ago. Now there's 500 people worshiping, 500 to 700 people worshiping every single week in Portland, Texas. God's just moving, guys. I'm telling you, across all of our campuses, Rodfield's up, Stone Oak is up, Broadcast is up. God is moving at all of our campuses right now. That's a wave coming at us. So here's three things we're going to do in response to that. The first is we're going to renovate Broadcast and upgrade technology. We need to do that desperately. And so God's brought us so many kids, so many young people and students that we need to upgrade our children's areas here at this broadcast. In other words, this is our oldest campus physically. Our oldest physical location is Broadcast, and mama needs a facelift. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to upgrade some stuff. And just to put this in perspective, we live in an old house. My family, our home is older. And how many of you guys live in an older home, like 10 years or older? Anyone? Okay, man, most of y'all have young, new homes. Man, you guys are rich. I didn't know I had all these rich people come. Anyway, so I'm in an older home. So imagine if you're in an older home, like this house, this campus is 17 years old. Did you know that we have the original sound system from 17 years ago? We are on the cutting edge technology of 2007. Think about that. Imagine if you had a 17-year-old air conditioner. You'd have an issue, wouldn't you, right? So it's time to upgrade, because that's not just for broadcast. That's how we broadcast the message to all of our campuses. And it's gone out before, and you don't want to be the campus when it goes out. It's not fun. All of a sudden, it just goes blue screen. You're like, well, I really was getting into the message, and now I have no idea what he's saying. It's very frustrating. And we've had the sound go out here. I mean, it's like, ugh. It's time. And so we got to upgrade it, and it's expensive to do that. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to redouble our efforts in evangelism. We're going to redouble our efforts. I just showed you what's going on in Pakistan. We're going to continue to do that and expand. Also, Moses asked me to come to Pakistan. We're trying to figure that out, see if it's safe, because it's obviously a very unsafe country, so we got to check all the details of that. But we'd love to go. And he tells me, if you'll come, we'll fill a soccer stadium full of people. I tend to believe him now. I'm like, I think he could do it. I mean, I just saw him fill a field. And so, and I said, how many people do you think we'd get? He said, probably about 100,000. I'm like, what was that number again? I mean, I can't believe it, but I tend to believe him with what I'm seeing God do. And so you just never know what God's going to do, right? You know why we call him Moses? He doesn't even know it, but he's the Billy Graham of Pakistan. God's hand's just on him. I've never seen anything like it. It's the craziest thing ever. And God's giving them great favor, great coverage. It's just amazing what God's doing. Anyways, I could talk all day, but I won't, but I could. It's incredible. But we're going to redouble our efforts, not only in our mission work, but also our local missions. We're also going to redouble efforts in our evangelism. What does that mean for you and I? That means that I'm going to ask you over the next 12 months, 4 or 5 times over the next 12 months, to bring your friends and family to church on one specific Sunday. By doing that, we concentrate our efforts, and then we really focus on Sundays to make it the best we can for lost people to hear about Jesus, and we see great results when we do that. So that's what we're going to do over the next 12 months, and God will bless that, but we need to prepare the house for that here as well as our other campuses. And we have other smaller projects at all of our other campuses too, by the way, and our campus pastors will let you know what those are. And then the third thing I'm really excited to announce today is we're going to lay the groundwork to build a prayer center right here at Broadcast. A prayer center that has offices and a media studio too, because the world's changed. Everyone's staring at a small screen in their pocket now, right? And so because of that, we need to really step up our game. And to do that, we need a studio. So because right now, the largest campus we have now is online. And so that's the number one viewership we have is our online. So we want to really step that up. I still believe in the local physical presence of a church, but we also want to recognize that God's moving in a unique way now with online, and we want to take part in that in a big way too. So we just need to prepare for that. And so we're going to lay the groundwork to build a prayer center, offices, and a media suite as well. Guys, prayer drives everything I do, and it drives everything we do as a church. And so God is the power behind our ministry, but prayer is the fuel to the power. And so when we pray, when God's people pray, God moves. And so we want to have a place that you can come and pray and seek the Lord. Very, very excited about that. And so more details will come as I have them from God. I don't have more details yet. But as we do, we'll move forward. But our goal is to have the offering strong enough next week and through the end of the year to be able to renovate the children's student and also to do the upgrade of technology. And then also to have enough resources left to draw the blueprints for a prayer facility and offices. And then hopefully next year I'll be presenting to you what that looks like and what it's going to entail. And then our next year's offering will be a portion, will go towards that. So it's exciting, right? Isn't that cool? We're doing some really fun stuff and I'm excited. It's good stuff. I love the scripture. It says this, it says in Zechariah 4, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." That verse means a lot to me because I remember when we were just a fledgling group of about 20 people trying to get a church started, and now here we are, 10,000 strong. I can't believe it. God's just been so good to us. It says in Ecclesiastes 11:4, "If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done." I love that verse. Isn't that great? That verse means so much to me because oftentimes we say, oh, this is a bad year to try to draw plans and build a building, Pastor. I mean, you know the cost of a construction is through the roof. I'm like, right. And it was 17 years ago when we built this building too. It's not going to go down. It's only going to go up. So the longer you wait, the more expensive stuff gets. And so you just can't worry about that. Don't let busyness stop you from serving either. People say, oh, I'll serve as soon as I slow down. You think you're going to slow down? That day isn't coming, guys. And so you just got to work it into your busy schedule and start to serve God, right? In other words, quit giving God your excuses as to why you're not going to give, why you're not going to move forward in serving, why you're not going to get involved in a small group, whatever it is that you know God's leading you to do, just quit giving God excuses. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. And number four, so we've told the people the plan. Number four, mobilize the leaders. Mobilize the leaders. Verse 7 says, they had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them and also told the disciples to distribute them. So now he tells the disciples, the leaders, okay, let's get busy. Let's distribute them, right? So I'm telling you as the leaders, it's time to lead. It's funny how I know so many people say, I want to be a leader. And I'm like, you know how you become a leader? Lead. This isn't complicated, you know? I mean, men are like, I want to be the leader. If you have to tell your wife you're the leader in your home, you're not the leader of your home. I just want to let you know that. If you go, I'm the leader around here, like, now you're not. You know, you just said that. I just completely disqualified you. Like, you're not, right? You know how you lead your wives, men? By leading her. This is where you go home and say, okay, honey, our leader, our pastor, who's imperfect, I'm not God, I'm just a man, but I'm trying to hear from God. I feel like the Lord is giving me instruction of what we're going to do next. This is where you now take it home and you go, okay, honey, what are we going to give? Let's get together. Let's pray about this. Let's talk about this. You know what you're doing right then, men? You're leading. And then you lead the way and come and you bring a gift. Say, okay, let's go forward together. Only one time a year do we do this, but it's the one time a year that we're actually going to have an opportunity for people to come forward with their offering. Because I want to give, honestly, I do that for men because I want to give you a chance to lead your family. And some of you right now, Pastor, that sounds great. I don't have a man in my family. And that's okay. Then you lead. You lead. There's plenty of examples in the Bible of women who rose up and led. There are some strong women in the Word of God. There's some strong women in this house, too. Can we give it up for our ladies who are leaders? Got a lot of them. One right there. I want to challenge you to lead. Mobilize the leaders. Acts chapter 2, this is a verse that God gave me years ago. Still standing on this verse, 27 years in. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Excuse me. I love this verse because it says God added to their number daily. I took this verse literally. I just said, okay, God, in Acts chapter 2, you gave them at least one person to accept Christ a day. So that means at the end of a year, that 365 people or more had accepted Christ and become a part of their church. So I said, God, would you please allow our church to grow by a minimum of 365 people a year? Do you know in 27 years, we've never reached less than that? Every single year, at least 365 people a year. Praise God. Galatians 3:3, this is a verse that really means a lot to me today. Now that we've been doing this for a while, says this in Galatians 3, Paul said this. He said, how foolish can you be after starting your new lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Ooh. He's basically saying in a nice way, don't become pro. You know, I've been doing this a while, right? So I could be like, I mean, I know what I'm doing. I've been pastoring church for 27 years. And God's like, really? You think you're all that now? Okay, God, no, I didn't mean it like that. And God reminds me, don't become a pro. Stay an amateur. An amateur is someone who's starting out, doesn't know what they're doing, they're scared to death, but they're just going to try something new. That's an amateur, right? God doesn't want us to turn pro. Pro means, I know what I'm doing. I got this. I can pull myself up my own bootstraps. No, this is not us doing anything. This is the hand of God on us. And let's remember who's in charge here. It's not us. Let's just stay amateurs and just do whatever he tells us. Please remember that professionals built a Titanic, but an amateur built the ark. Let's stay amateurs and trusting God. Let's stay humble is what I'm trying to say. Guys, I want to tell you right now, there's only one celebrity in this house, and his name is Jesus Christ. Let's honor him and put him first. He is who we serve. Mobilize the leaders. Next week, by the way, we're starting our Christmas series on our Giving Sunday next week. And we're talking about the wise men, and they brought gifts to Jesus, right? But not just that, but next week, I'll just give you a little preview of next week. We call them the wise men, but there's another word for them. They're called the three wise men or the three kings. Next week, I want you to be here because next week, I promise you'll be motivated because I'm going to teach you that you're actually a king. You're royalty. So we're going to unpack what does royalty look like and how do you make royal decisions? And if you're royalty, then why are you living in the muck and mire of a peasant when you're not a peasant? You are royalty in the kingdom of God. So we're going to unpack what that looks like for you next week. Don't miss next week. It will motivate you. It will bless you. I promise you will leave because you'll leave excited and inspired because God wants you not just to be in the organization you're in. He wants you to rise to the top of it. I will give you the word of God on that next week. Don't miss next week's message. Last part of the scripture is this. Mark chapter 8 says this in verse 8. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. That's how we know the number. They were 8 and they were satisfied. You know, when you're doing church God's way, people are satisfied. They just are. You know, if you say, I'm not really satisfied with my church. Well, are you doing the whole thing God told you? Like the whole, like, I'm going to bring a tithe. I'm going to serve. I'm going to pray. I'm going to bring lost people. I'm going to really surrender my life to God. Are you doing all that? Oh, you're not? Oh, so you're not with the program, but yet you're complaining that the program doesn't work, but you're not working the program. Oh, that gym doesn't work. I go once a month. It hasn't changed me. I don't think you quite understand the program. It works when you work it. It says they were satisfied. They obeyed the Lord, and therefore they were satisfied. And there was overflow. I love that. There'll be overflow. Last thing is this, number 5, attempt the impossible and watch God multiply. Attempt the impossible. You know, our goal is to reach 1 million souls. That may seem like a crazy number, and it is a big number. It's crazy. And people have said to me before, who do you think you are? When I first moved to town, our goal was to reach 1,000 people in 3 years. I was told by other pastors in town, to my face, who do you think you are coming to this town thinking you're just going to take over? And I was like, well, I don't mean it like that. I'm excited. And they misinterpreted my excitement as thinking that it was arrogance, like I thought I was all that. But I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge young leaders all the time. If you've got a big vision, never make your plans based upon how big you think you are. Make your plans based upon how big you think your God is. That's what this is about. It's about God. Ephesians 3:20 says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. God can do it, and I've seen him do it. Year after year, I've seen him do it, and he's not done yet. This vision, if you've been a part of the church a while, you're like, it's the same thing he always says. Yep, I'm a broken record. Let's win lost people. That hasn't changed for me, and it's not going to change because people need the Lord. People need the Lord. Simple as that. Would you bow your head to me, every head bowed, every eye closed? Would you take a moment to pray? God's bringing us fresh waves of his grace, of his goodness. Have you given your life to Christ? Now's your chance. Now's your opportunity. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. You can give your life to Jesus right now by praying a very simple prayer. You can just pray this out loud with us. You can just say, Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With your head bowed, your eyes closed, if you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, would you just lift your hand high if that's you? If you just gave your life to Christ, would you hold your hand high right now? Praise God. There are hands going up all across our churches. Just hold those hands high. Thank you. We see your hand there at Rodfield, at Stone Oak. Hold those hands high. Praise God. Thank you, Rockport. Praise God. God's moving right now at Padre Island. Thank you, Portland. Hold those hands high. Right now in our prison ministry, hold those hands high. Praise God. You're online with us right now. You just gave your life to Christ. Would you let us know? You put it in the text chat. Just text my hands raised or click hand raised right now. God, thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you, God, that you are bringing fresh waves of your grace and we're just catching what you're bringing. We thank you for those who just gave their life to you. And thank you, God, as a church, that this week we will take a moment just to pray, to seek you, to say, God, what would you have us do? What can we bring so that we can be a part of the miracle of what you're doing through your church? Thank you, God, for a church that's willing to sacrifice. Thank you, God, for people that are making a difference, that are making an impact. Thank you for that, God. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Thank you, guys. Well, it's offering time at Church Unlimited. It's an honor to give to God. It really is. Again, if you're visiting with us, all this talk of money is not normal for us. We don't talk about this all the time. It's just because of the season we're in with our annual offering next week. But before we do go any further with our regular offering today, our annual offering is open if you'd like to begin giving to that. If you feel led to do that above and beyond your tithe, you can do that now. But also next week, we're all bringing a gift together as well. And so I've already begun to give because of the number God gave us. We've been working towards it, but then I will complete that next week. And so, but please check out this video, just a reminder about what we're all about and why we have a heart for this house. Check this out.
I found community in this house. I found my purpose in this house.
I met Jesus in this house.
My children found Jesus in this house. This house helped me overcome depression.
I found my spouse in this house.
My marriage was restored in this house.
I overcame addiction in this house.
I am no longer bound by suicidal thoughts.
This house taught me what it means to be a man.
I overcame anxiety.
This house saved me from myself.
I grew up in this
house.
This house has broken my family's generational curse.
I've been loved by this house.
Have words, I don't. I've been changed by this house. I'm so thankful my kids were raised in this house. I'm so thankful when I pray my grandkids get to be raised in this house. It's bigger than us, guys. It's bigger than us. Thank you for being a part of a crazy miracle working move of God here at Church Unlimited. Thank you. Thank you for believing what God's doing here. Thank you. God, I pray your blessings over this offering. I thank you that we can give, and I just ask you to do what only you can do, God. God, I'm so thankful. I'm just so thankful, God, for what you're doing. Thank you, God. You're sending new waves. Waves of blessing, waves of grace, waves of goodness, waves of opportunity. May we be your people. Position us, Lord, to catch the wave of what you're doing. Thank you that we can give today. In your name we pray. Amen.